thus far from your parents and what that has meant to you?
Both of my parents are very supportive of me. They support me in everything that I do, and they understood, because from a young age I would have never understood, but they understood that with everything in life there comes a challenge. And we're Christians, we're firm believers in God. So they will always encourage me, bring me Bible stories and tell me, don't be discouraged by what people say, don't be discouraged by what people do. And my dad always told me that I can't control someone else, but I can control my reaction. How I react to somebody else's reaction too. So whenever I have a problem, I could just go to my parents. Like, we don't have any negative relationship at all. I could just go to them, tell them the problems that I'm having, and they will always, they will either know how to aid me in solving my problem, or they will know someone who can aid me in solving my problem. So it's always a positive environment. I could go to them, they could come to me, and there's no problem at all.
So, Samara, tell us, how do you feel now about being at university and some of your projections or plans for the future?
Being at university is a lot different than being in secondary school, obviously. University requires more, it requires you to do more work for yourself, for the betterment of yourself, to research by yourself, to study by yourself, and the tutors will guide you. Whereas in secondary school, they will teach you, and I guess I could say you'll kind of guide yourself. So right now I sit kind of in the middle. I will aid myself, but I need some guidance also. And in the future, I just want to be an accountant. The firm doesn't matter, private or public. I just really, really want to be an accountant.
Okay.
So I'm studying towards that.
Okay. Well, university life can be challenging while at the same time extremely enjoyable. Unfortunately, COVID has preempted the interaction and all the involvement in various clubs and fraternities and, you know, other activities that you could get involved in at the university and have that human-to-human contact. But hopefully, COVID will settle down and you'll be able to still have that experience.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Right. And as we speak of COVID, how would you say this whole pandemic has impacted your own growth and development? How has it affected you emotionally?
I would say the pandemic took some getting used to, because the school term just stopped abruptly, and we know how to figure out, well, what's going to happen? Exams are still coming up. How are we going to continue our studies, continue classes, so we will be better equipped for secondary school? But then once we got the plan, as I said, since this was online school, it wasn't that hard for me. You just have to remember simple things, like stand a little further, don't give up. As much hugs to people, remember to always wear my mask. So I realized that once everybody follows the instructions that we're given, it's a whole lot easier for us to protect ourselves during this pandemic.
Okay, so as a young person, Samara, you have overcome Blount's condition, and you're pursuing some of your personal goals. Tell us some of the other activities you have been involved in. I know that you were in Junior Calypso Monarch for Crop Over.
Yes.
Tell us about that experience, and would you want to continue being involved in the Calypso arena?
Well, I could say my experience was definitely a learning experience. I tried Junior Monarch 2 times. The first time, I was a reserve for the semis, and the second time, I didn't get in. but it was still a learning experience for me. And I was able to farm and build my repertoire for the next year, but unfortunately, because of the pandemic, we didn't have a junior calypso monarch. Last year, there was a junior soca monarch, but there wasn't a junior calypso monarch. So,
share with us then some of the lessons you would have learned from this whole involvement in the junior calypso monarch competition.
I would have learned be patient, because trying to figure out what you want your song to be, sending the information that you want, what sort of bass lines you want, it would have taught you patience, because sometimes you have an idea and you're just ready to go with it. You need to sit down and plan and really think about what you're doing. And then when I didn't get through, it taught me to don't give up, because although something might not turn out how you wanted, you could still keep pushing and still keep persevering.
And I believe you would have been disappointed not being chosen for the semi-finals or finals, even in the second competition. How would you say you dealt with the disappointment of not being selected?
For me, like, I didn't think that I let down myself or anything. And I was still given the opportunity to sing with the semi-finalists. I just wasn't being judged. So I just really capitalized on that opportunity, and I still sang. But if I was being judged, still performed, and it just really, outdid the song, I guess we could say.
Okay. And would you want to get involved at the adult level of calypso?
I am not really sure. I don't think I've ever thought about that before. But it's a possibility.
Okay.
I'll look into that for the future.
Wonderful. Now, Samara, you have experienced life at two different spectrums. One, in terms of having the disability that was very visible, and also, you know, seeing how the general public responded to you as they saw you, and maybe even some measure of discrimination you experienced, versus now that you've had corrective surgery and people see you as not having any impairment. What would you want to say to young people like yourself who are experiencing life with a disability or an illness?
I would tell them to don't be so much in your head. So, don't criticize yourself. Don't judge yourself. Don't judge others. Just focus on what your goals are. Focus on what you would like to achieve and work towards those goals. Work on the betterment of yourself. Find the activity that you like. So when I had a disability, and even now, I realize sports wasn't my thing, obviously. So sports may not be your thing. Gaming online might not be your thing, but find something that you like. I found that what I like would have been face painting. So whenever you're feeling down, whenever you just need entertainment, you can do what you like. You could find somebody with similar interests as you, and y'all could work together, help to better each other, but try not to criticize yourself too much.
Sound advice from a young person to other young people. And what would you say now to parents with these young people? How can you encourage them to really think positive of their child and to go through the pain of maybe multiple surgeries like you did have and other challenges that they may experience?
I would encourage the parents to don't give up on your child. I know that was some kind of straightforward, but just don't give up on your child. Your child still has potential. Although they have a disability, it would just maybe mean that they will have to work a little harder in accomplishing what they need to accomplish, but at the end of the day, they're still going to accomplish it. Still send them to school, still invest in extracurricular activities, still spend time with them, still give them their little bubble of independence. But whatever you do, don't give up on your child.
As you spoke of not giving up on your child, I know your parents would have experienced some challenges as well. Mainly could be an area like transportation, and that can be extremely frustrating for parents as well as the child who wants to go out to socialize or to keep their medical appointments or whatever other educational appointments they may have. How, again, would you want to, what would you say to this whole area of the inadequacy of accessible transport?
Transport was really, really quite a challenge, because even though there are taxis and there are shuttles, the shuttles are still fairly expensive, and depending on your disability, it would be hard for you to accommodate the type of vehicles. Like when I was in Missouri, and even when I came back from Barbados, because I still had my external fixators on, it was hard for me to get into cars, heavy vehicles like trucks, even jeeps. It was very hard for me to get into those types of vehicles, but sometimes a car was the only option that you had, because not everybody has a wheelchair accessible van. And transportation for disabled persons could also be extremely, extremely expensive, because if I am in Oysters and I'm going to town and I'm a normal person, I don't have any physical disabilities, they will probably charge me, let's just say, $30 for easy math. But as soon as I'm in all crutches, as soon as I'm in a wheelchair, if I had to have on a cast, if I have a cane, a walker, anything of that sort, I'll be pushing myself up almost $100, a little bit past $100, although it's the same distance, it's the same amount of miles, same amount of gas. They will charge me extra, which will be hard when you're going to doctor's appointments, especially other frequent activities, going for medication, going to the pharmacy, going for checkups. It was starting to get very expensive.
Well, Samara, you really have shared quite a lot about your life and some of the experiences you had in seeking to have corrective surgery for your Blanc's condition. And I must say a very special thank you, because I know some young people are very inhibited, very shy about sharing about their personal life in such a candid and warm manner. So I really appreciate you and your parents and your siblings for building you into the beautiful young lady that you are. Thank you very much.
Thank you too.
And I want to wish you all success with your studies at Cave Hill Campus. And we look forward to hearing about you in the near future as you pursue your accounting degree.
Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
You too. You have been listening to Visions with me, Udalee Wickham-Ashby, and my special guest today, Samara Morrill. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or via Starcom at 1-246-430-7300, and of course by email BISIONS Visions Barbados BARBAS at gmail.com. So that's visionsbarbados at gmail.com. And of course, you can listen to this and past episodes on the VOB929.com website. So until next week, be safe, take excellent care of yourself, love your family and your nation.